I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point at yet another busy time across Scottish football. Rangers close in on a new sporting director amid takeover talks. Tuyosi Olasanya leaves St Mirren for the MLS, and it's two from Falkirk, one from Livy and one from Ayr in the Championship Player of the Year nominees. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Cammy Bell and Simon Donnelly. They call it the business end of the season.
I thought you were
for
going to call
reason
it the,
here.
The middle of the week where there's not much to talk about.
You're trying to suggest this is a quiet day in the life
possibly,
of Scotland.
Possibly. It we're after,
never quiet.
After the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup at the weekend, we're back to domestic duty. The split has happened. A lot to play for. Obviously Celtic can win the title at the weekend. The bottom six, a lot to play for. And Friday night as well, Falkirk, after losing three late goals to Raith Rovers, can they get it done on Friday night against Partick?
Tell him to talk for himself. Rangers are closing in on a new sporting director. This breathes new life into the takeover discussion as well. St Mirren have somehow pulled off one of my favourite transfers of all time, selling a guy on the 23rd of April when the season's about to finish. They're giving out awards down the leagues. I think there's plenty in there.
Plenty to talk about. Yeah, as you say, potential new sporting director at Rangers. Exciting news. Obviously, the ownership change as well. But yes, building up to the weekend, obviously, Celtic can clinch the
yeah,
title this weekend.
Yeah.
But I think you mentioned that Friday night's exciting. I think Partick Thistle, who have got a lot to play for to try and get into them playoff spots, and a Falkirk team who lost three goals late on. Incredible.
I could not believe it.
Not done it all season.
I kind of switched off to it, and then I went to look at the scores again, and Raith had scored three goals. It was incredible. Mm-hmm.
92 and 94
it's
or something.
Gave Livingston that little chance there, and my old team Partick under pressure to make the playoffs as well. So that's a big game on Friday night.
And we're probably over the specifics of the weekend by now, but just out of curiosity, since it's the first time we've spoken to you, happy with Celtic's ease of progression? Can anyone stop them now in the cup?
Yeah, I kind of called it last week. Obviously Celtic know what they're doing when they get to that stage of the tournament. Funnily enough, the first half hour of the game, you know, St Johnson tried to stifle it a wee bit. I didn't think Celtic were their fluent best, and all of a sudden they went in 4-0 at half time. That's what that team can do. You know, they get the first goal, they press on, and as I say, the tie was well over 45 minutes in.
Yeah, it was a good weekend, wasn't it? Like I say, we're probably over the specifics of that now. It's Wednesday, you start to hit that midweek point, looking at some of the other stories and maybe looking forward. But nevertheless, it's always good when you've got that Scottish Cup final lineup complete. It's now the post-split fixtures that becomes the priority for everyone.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot to play for this weekend. Obviously, we just mentioned that Celtic can get over the line and another title in the bag. But then you look at that bottom six, there's some huge games in there against St Johnstone, who need to react well after that disappointment last weekend against Celtic, the 5-0 hammering. They need to start this bottom six well to try and get themselves out of problems. And yeah, it's big games for everyone. You look at Dundee, it's a big game for them. Kilmarnock, Motherwell, Ross County, they're all pretty much in the mix in that bottom six.
Just on a very basic level, I can't quite believe we're here already. Are they just getting quicker and quicker every season, or what?
You know, the seasons.
Yeah, it's like award season, it's post-split fixtures, the cup final lineup's complete.
Yeah. They
in
do.
The blink of an eye.
They do. I hate to tell you, it gets quicker.
Is that,
quicker
right? is that just an age thing? That's got nothing to do with Scottish football.
No.
It's just
just it comes round quicker and quicker. I heard you talking about the Scottish Cup final before we came through here, and the season's almost at an end all of a sudden.
Jeez. Still plenty more life left in it, yeah. So give us a call tonight, please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, what have you made of that story today? You're closing in on a new sporting director, Kevin Thelwell, 51-year-old. He's been in a similar role at Everton, and that generally, when one of our biggest clubs makes a big appointment like that, it's a big deal anyway. It's a big story. It's something we would always discuss on here. But of course, at this point in time, it might carry extra significance, because who's going to be the next manager? Will this new sporting director presumably play a big part in picking the manager? How does he fit in with new ownership? Are they making arrangements in the background? You wouldn't imagine a new sporting director comes in and then a new owner takes over next month and wants a change there. So how do you see it all panning out? You've probably been doing your research into Kevin Thelwell today. Are you impressed with what you see? I suppose it's a bit of a modern day phenomenon, isn't it? It used to be simple. You would look at a player and think what they could, but people now, they'll be analysing sporting directors. Mm-hmm. Looking at the CV the way yes. that we just used to do for a player. So have you been looking into that? What do you think? Are you impressed with what you see? And probably the bigger picture for you Rangers fans, how do you see this all playing out now? Is it important that he comes in quickly? Does he then play a part in picking the manager? Would you like to see that announced soon? You know, maybe before the end of the season, because I know the takeover hasn't been completed, but there must be something in the background there. Otherwise it would be a strange time to appoint a sporting director. Or maybe it wouldn't. Maybe you can educate us on how these things work, or your theories on it. So give us a call right now, Rangers fans, about the way you see the club going, the structure, when you want the manager to be in by, who you want that manager to be, and if you've been doing your research on Kevin Thelwell and what you think he might bring as a sporting director. Give us a call right now if you can, please, on 01419511025. We will work our way through that. It's incredible the dots that are being joined at the moment as well, because I noticed Daniel Farke's rumoured to be getting sacked by Leeds.
And is he?
Social media, exactly, after just leading them.
Is he?
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah. Wow. And social media is now awash with people saying, maybe he'll just be the next Rangers manager then. Because he's not done a bad job. He's going to be part of this same ownership group. Maybe just move him on to Ibrox.
You never know. There's going to be
so
much speculation. I think Russell Martin was mentioned as well today.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be really interesting with the Rangers story. You know, if the takeover is going to happen, who's coming in? Is Barry going to still be there? There's a lot of questions. Steven Gerrard's obviously names to the fore as well. So with this new guy coming in, sporting director, he might have something to do with the next selection process. We'll wait and see.
What do you think about that, Rangers fans? Are you encouraged to hear that although you're awaiting news of the takeover, are you encouraged to hear that the sporting director role seems to be getting filled a bit more imminently? If you do know anything about him specifically, then please do feel free to tell us what you've read, what you've heard, what you've looked at today. And then what happens from there? I take it you envisage him playing a part in picking the manager. Who do you think that will be? You can't get away from analysing Barry Ferguson's position. Steven Gerrard's name was coming up quite a lot on last night's show. Is it social media speculation? I'm seeing Jose Mourinho.
Jose.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine this show every night? Absolute box office stuff. But who knows if there's any realistic possibility of that. Give us a call right now though, if you can, please. 01419511025. Not the only story doing the rounds today. I'd love to hear from you, St Mirren fans. Just how impressed have you been with the club's business here over Toyosi Olasanya? This is a guy that wasn't an automatic pick for Arbroath a couple of seasons ago, and now he's been bought by a team in the MLS with only 5 games to go. He is out of contract in 5 games time, essentially, and you've got a transfer fee for him at this point in the season. How good is that? Just when you think things can't get any better, you're on the crest of a wave from a third consecutive top flight finish. You now see how well other elements of the club are being run as well. Give us a call, St Mirren fans. Your farewell wishes, I guess, to Toyosi Olasanya. We've got the Lower League Player of the Year nominations. So I'm looking at you Falkirk fans, Livy, Ayr, anyone who's got a passing interest in the Championship. Is it the right list? Has anyone missed out, and who will win out of those four? So it's Jay Henderson of Ayr, Calvin Miller and Brad Spencer of Falkirk, and Robbie Muirhead of Livingston. Anyone hard done by? Anyone missed out? Anyone deserve a mention? And if not, who will get that out of those four? Who would your winner be if you're a fan of the Championship? I can see loads of clubs are starting to get their business arranged or their ducks in a row for next season. Dundee United talking about Louis Moult and Declan Gallagher being allowed to leave. Played a pretty, you know, a key role. Declan Gallagher certainly has. Louis Moult's been in and out due to injury, but already looking to be quite decisive ahead of what they want to do next season, and various other clubs talking about that as well. Michael Vimmer laying down the gauntlet, the challenge to his players to come and be, show that they can be a part of what's happening going forward. So yes, I know it's bang in the middle of the week. You might not be ready to look forward to the weekend's action. It might be too late to look back on the previous weekend, but there is still a lot doing the rounds. 0141 951 1025. What are you looking forward to most about the running?
I think the bottom six actually excites me. I think the first weekend, as I said before, I think it's key for St Johnstone. Need to get a win. They need to get a win to give themselves a little bit of chance. But then you look at that playoff spot, I think there's a number of teams that are involved in that. Old club Kilmarnock as well there. It's been a very sticky season for them, and Derek McInnes there. It's not been particularly great this season, so they're well involved in that playoff spot, if not involved in automatic relegation. So it's so important the first weekend, I think, for a lot of teams to get off to a good start in the bottom six.
Yeah, you have to ask me.
I was going to say that.
No, listen, the bottom six, I agree with Cammy that it's really, really tight. I'm just looking at your team, Gordon. They've got a chance at home against another one of my old clubs, St John's. If they can get a win there, it maybe relieves a bit of the pressure. The teams below, there's nothing between them. And it's going to be really tight. I think, I've said before, I'm not a huge fan of the split of the six, but it does bring with it some excitement. And, you know, that bottom six is certainly looking the part over the next five games. Yeah, interesting times, but I think your team can maybe relieve that if they get a win at the weekend.
Are you going to Tannadice for a party on Saturday, are you?
I'm working, yeah, for Celtic TV, yes.
Is that up there or remote?
It's remote.
Oh, so you don't get the remote, sort of champagne so lifestyle.
No, he'd be having his own party.
Aye, well, maybe late into the night. You're just on a rotation basis between...
They've still got to get the result.
Tannadice Rugby Park, it feels like these are title-winning venues quite a lot, doesn't it?
Aye, Dundee United's been two or three times in recent times, yeah.
What, Rangers done a couple at Rugby Park, is it? I feel like that was always a venue for...
Yeah, I was on the receiving end of the 5-1. Remember that, when Lafferty scored the hat-trick in the first 10 minutes? I think Celtic actually could have won the... if we had beat Rangers on that day in Celtic, I think they were possibly away to Motherwell. I can't remember, it was a few years ago. And if we had beat Rangers, then Celtic could, if they had won, they would have won the title. But yeah, it was over in 10 minutes when Lafferty put it by me three times.
Right, keep the calls coming then. 0141 951 1025. Like we said, if there's a more general point you want to make about the running, this might be a good time to do it. A nice spot in the middle of the week. What about this Rangers sporting director story? It's one of the main stories doing the rounds today, so I want to get your thoughts on it, Rangers fans. Does it surprise you that that appointment could be and probably will be made before a takeover is complete, or is that just inevitable that things would need to be put in place, maybe behind the scenes, and then things get signed and sealed at some point going forward? Let us know, please. 0141 951 1025. As always, if you would rather tweet, you can do that as well, at Clyde SSB, if you want to send your best wishes to Simon Donnelly and or Cammy Bell. Let's start with that, Cammy. Let's give us your thoughts then, generally, when you... You know, it's one of those things that I'm not saying comes out of nowhere, but last night I don't think we were talking about a Rangers sporting director as an example. All over the papers now today, websites, social media. What did you make of the way that's come out?
Yeah, no, listen, I think Rangers have been in the market for a sporting director for a little bit of time now. Again, it's always difficult when new ownership's coming into the club and that they've not yet got the takeover through. So, yes, listen, the new ownership will be firmly behind whoever comes in as a sporting director. They'll be directing this and appointing whoever's coming in, even if they don't have it over the line with the takeover fully completed. But I think it's a sensible move if they're putting a lot of faith in a sporting director to then direct the club with regards to who the management's going to be, the structure of the club, the way they're going to run the youth system. I know there's obviously already talk of... If he gets a job, Kevin gets a job, then they're looking at the academy director of Everton to potentially be coming up as the academy director at Rangers, which is a vacant post at this moment in time. So, yeah, I feel as if it's probably the right way that things would happen is a sporting director comes in first and then the appointment of the manager would happen after that.
Well, Jeff's a Rangers fan. Jeff, kick us off with that. Are you the type that pays close attention? Does the news of a new sporting director excite you?
Not really. Do we really need a sports director? I mean, we've got enough directors in the club as it is. That just caught me. I just heard that on the news. So
it just tends to be the modern way now, doesn't it? Though tends to be the modern way of kind of a certain size of club where to give that continuity. I suppose the interesting thing in this one, Jeff, is because you're waiting on this takeover. Does that surprise you?
That's what I want to talk about, actually. Wouldn't it be nice now that Leeds have won the championship down south, that the 49ers come out and tell us what their plans are, right? I'm still worried about this. All right, the guys will take over. What are they going to do to the club, right? I've also seen on social media Steven Gerrard's picture being flashed about again. Now, does that mean that they might be bringing him back to Ibrox? Who knows? It's just that I've heard lots of rumours, and I don't like talking about rumours. I want to hear from the horse's mouth what the plans are for the next 2 years.
Oh, this is not the show for you. Rumours keep us going. That's our currency. I take the point, though. If you're a Rangers fan, you probably are now. Maybe getting impatient, Cammy. Maybe because now Europe was a nice distraction, it's not there. You'd probably rather just see the end of this season. You see the back of it, and you want a element of certainty as to where you're going, what direction you're heading in. That said, these things are hugely complex, I'm sure. Various commercial sensitivities and various other aspects to consider that, I don't know, people say what they can when they can, I guess.
Yeah, and listen, any change of ownership in any business, it is very complicated and complex, so it takes time, and these discussions will be going on for months and months. And I'm pretty sure that the way that it sort of sounds coming out of Rangers at the moment, again, we've seen Andrew Kavanagh at the games. He's been very, very visual in the games. So I think they're very close to it happening. I think it's just one of these cases that it will happen before the end of the season. Do I believe they'll appoint a manager before the end of the season? I don't. I think the sporting director will get appointed before the end of the season. That'll be the first bit of news. And then I think probably once the season's done, there'll be probably a quick turnaround, that a new manager will come in probably early in the closed season, because they do need to rush things on. They need to get things moving because there's a lot of work to get done at Rangers in the summer.
I think that's exactly what you were talking about, how things come around so quickly, Gordon. I think that's maybe why they've decided to move for this guy at this point. Mm-hmm. They'll be hoping in the background that this takeover happens quite quickly. But you don't have a lot of time. I mean, the season's finished and all of a sudden you're preparing. I'd imagine there'll be a lot of that team might move on. So it's a lot of replacement there as well. So you don't have a lot of time before the next season kicks in.
Yeah, I think Barry Ferguson would like a bit of clarity probably as well, just, you know, for his own sake.
He would, but he might not get it. Again, Barry will be professional enough just to get the job done, and it's a club that he obviously loves, so he'll just want to win every game between now and the end of the season. I think he's done a really good job since he's came in. I think he's completely changed the way the squad approaches games. There's a bit of bite about Rangers, almost, I don't know, there was just a lack of belief when Clement was manager. Now I think Barry's got a little bit of that back, but there's still a huge amount of work to be done at the club. Don't get me wrong, they've not performed to their best domestically, but European wise I think he's done a decent job. And yes, I think he would like clarity. Will he get it? I don't think so, not until the new ownership's fully in charge. And again, I don't believe they'll make a decision until they've got a sporting director in charge.
I take it that stuff's more important, Jeff, than how you finish the season. I mean, what is the hope for the rest of the season, if there is one?
It's a bit of both. I mean, you want to finish the season with a flourish. And the last question I want to ask is going to be directed at you in a minute. It's been a very difficult season. We've had a great time in Europe. It's just a pity the way it ended. We just now need to go forward and get this sorted out before the beginning of next season. Right, my last question.
Go on, make it quick.
It's about VAR.
Oh, jinx. Right, okay.
Right, okay. Can VAR be improved? Because I think this season has been a shambles for every club. And sooner rather than later, it is going to ruin Scottish football.
You're asking me that?
Yeah.
Who cares what I think? Mean, nobody cares what I think, do they?
Well, you seem to be involved with VAR.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Love it.
I just get to ask the... I wish I was. I'll tell you that. I wish I was. I've got a few ideas of my own. I just get to ask the questions. I genuinely don't know if that is... Could it be improved? I think, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I think... Well, we spent last week, but though, arguing about Cyril Dessers, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And every Monday I turn on the TV and I see the English Premier League arguing about it. So I feel like football as a whole probably has to decide...
What's the offside thing down south as well?
Semi-automated. Yeah. But then somebody was offside with their ear or something in Italy as a result of that, and then people complain about that.
I think that's where that rule should be looked at rather than VAR, but I'm not a big fan of VAR, but it's here to stay. Yes, of course it can be improved. Everything can be improved. Still a lot of waiting about in different games, watching it across the board.
I think there's a full show dedicated to that, Jeff. 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly is here, so is Cammy Bell. 01419511025 is the number that you need. Mark is in White Inch. How are you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm fine. Gordon.
Good.
What
made you call?
How's the panel tonight?
All good, I think. Speaking on behalf of you two, you well?
All good, Mark, yes.
Both of you going for a wee sort of khaki colour coordination tonight?
Lovely,
did I not get the memo? No?
No.
Right, okay, never mind. Camouflage. What made you call tonight, Mark?
Well, it was just, I've been listening over the last couple of days and things. It's about Steven Gerrard coming back to Rangers. I'm hearing a lot of support, like my fellow fans are all for him coming back and... giving them another chance. Now, the people who are the fans who are calling in, you know, there seems to be a lot of negativity about what he actually achieved and when he came in, where we were at the time, and how we've improved. He sort of laid a blueprint for Europe, which is carrying on to this very day. Now, it's been 6 or 7 years now. Rangers have been competing regularly in the latter stages of Europe, and you know, I think everyone should just calm down. And personally, I think these American owners coming in, he's a great figurehead, he's a great man and figurehead for the club, and Americans sort of get taken in by things like this, and perhaps that could be his appointment could be the first stages of big, hopefully big things. I'll just see what you thought about that.
It won't go away, Cammy. We've had a good debate on a few nights, and Mark, there's a real split. I mean,
it's really mixed.
Yeah. You know, people are so convinced that it shouldn't be entertained, and equally people like Mark can really see the benefits. What's your take?
No, listen, when Steven Gerrard was at Rangers, I thought he'd done a fantastic job. Again, his managerial careers went in a different direction since then. Is he the right man for Rangers at this moment in time? It's a difficult one. I would tend to say potentially yes. I think he could come in and do a very good job, be very competitive. As Mark says, probably, I don't know if it will play in the thoughts of the American owners that come in, that he has got a big name in football. We all know the Americans like that sort of big name coming in, because again it attracts a lot of commercial, a lot of noise behind the appointment. So, but I also think he is a good manager. I think he's possibly, when he's went over at Saudi, I felt as if it was maybe a different direction, and he obviously wanted to try it over there. But yes, listen, I wouldn't be against him coming back to the club, because I thought he'd done a really good job the first time, was very competitive and got Rangers obviously back on track. So yeah, it's an interesting one. It just depends on what names are out there, who the new owners think they can attract to the club, and certainly he would be one that would be one that I would consider.
Some people it doesn't matter if it's players or managers, Mark, some people have just a blanket never go back rule. I don't know, I'm guessing you don't buy into that sort of logic.
No, you know, obviously, it depends on how Steven Gerrard thinks. I mean, we might be talking about nothing here, you know, and but I, for one, would wholeheartedly love him back.
I think, to be fair, when we're discussing any you know, managerial appointment, you have to consider both parties.
Yeah.
Would the club want that manager? Would that manager want that job? Do you think, based on what's happened since he left Rangers, that he absolutely would want that? And then it becomes a question more of, do Rangers want him rather than the other way around?
Yeah, I think he would want to come back to Rangers. I do. I think he's had a taste of it. I think he understands the club, the size of the club as well. And again, it's all about the story that the new ownership tells them, yeah, as well. So that's going to be a key, yeah, part in any manager that comes in, of, yeah, budgets and what they can, where they want the club, yeah, to go. So
it wasn't meant to be disrespectful, but you know, he won't be batting away huge offers currently. You wouldn't have thought.
No, yeah, he won't be at the moment. But again, he's a huge name in football. His managerial career's been. Listen, you can't say it's been poor, because he's had good spells as well as difficult ones. But I just think it would be. I think he would want to come back to Rangers. But again, I think it'll all be about the story that the new ownership want to tell, whoever they want to come in, of what the budget's going to be, what direction they actually want the club to go in, and how quickly as well.
I think profile-wise, as Cammy says, when he first came here, huge name to come and manage Rangers in our top league, that in itself can attract certain standard of players. Obviously, the likes of Defoe came,
yep.
I know he's come to end his career, but that kind of profile can attract. I think you would command the respect because of what you did as a player. And yes, he only won 1 out of 9 when he was here, but it was an important one. The Rangers fans will tell you that. It was an important league. The other question mark there, though, is we were told all the time that it wasn't him that did the coaching. He took that kind of general manager side of it. Now, I don't know the dynamics of Fergie and Neil McCann and Dodgsy at the moment at Rangers, but it was Michael Beale that was the coach. So I don't know how that leaves it moving forward.
Just bring him back.
Well, I can't see that happening.
No.
I can't see that happening. So I don't know. There's loads of questions out there, and as Jeff has alluded to, and Mark, that obviously the Rangers fans want to get something sorted as quick as possible. I can understand why it's mixed between the Rangers fans.
Thank you to Mark and White in show 141951 1025 to join in tonight. I love the timing of this, right? Because we've lined up Peter McPartland, who's from Toffee TV. I'm going to get him on to give us the inside track on Rangers' potential new sporting director. But I'm just wondering if he listened in there and thought we had brought an Evertonian on to talk about Steven Gerrard. And he's about to hang up the phone. Peter, don't hang up. I promise we're moving back to your area of expertise. Listen, thanks for joining us. It is, I suppose, a real sign of modern football where we now analyse the CVs and the track records of sporting directors in the way that we used to do it with players, and it was a lot more simple. What could you tell us then about Kevin Thelwell? If he's going to take over the role at Rangers, how's he viewed down your way? What sort of job has he done?
Well, you talk about becoming an expert. In the last couple of years, I've had to become an expert in football, directors of football, PSR, owners, stadiums. It's becoming an absolute minefield. He's done a decent job at Everton, and under really, really difficult circumstances, as most people will be aware from outside the club. It's been a bit of a fire sale. It's been obviously about balancing the books. Everyone know last year that we had points deductions, so it's been about balancing the books, getting players out. Basically the best players we've had in the last 3 or 4 years have had to be sold, and we've had to replace them with players on the cheap, but obviously players good enough to keep us in the Premier League while we've been getting our stadium built. So it's been very, very difficult, and I think he has to be commended for the job he's done there. So he's I don't think he's someone who obviously will go out and, he's not one of these sort of super directors of football that can spot talent and can see players before maybe other clubs have done so. But if you're talking about getting the right talent at the right price, I think he's done a really good job at Everton.
Would that be the main sort of feather in his cap then, is negotiating a difficult financial picture? It's so difficult to draw parallels, but I suppose in the loosest sense, Rangers have brought their wage bill down recently. We don't really know what their new ownership model will look like, but having to spend wisely ultimately is an aim for pretty much every club. So would that be the main sort of job that he's done?
Yeah, as I said, the job he's done, I think in a few years' time, people look back and say it's an extraordinary job because of the circumstances he was that he was under at the club. You know, you're talking about a football club that had a owner in Fahd Moshiri who basically left the club. And I've actually spoke to Kevin Fowler. We at the channel had a meeting with him this current season. And he spoke about the challenges, and he actually told us that he only actually got full sort of control of being the director of football when Fahd Moshiri took a step back from the club. There was so much interference for him and the directors of football before him that he never really had full control till that moment. And I think he was free in that moment, and he enjoyed that. And it's been really, really difficult, as I said. He's had to juggle so many things. Obviously, Everton had real PSR issues, and we were deducted points, you know. And in last summer in the Premier League, there was a little bit of clever accountancy, I would say, between some of the clubs where they swapped players and paid each other the same value. And I think Kevin Fowler might have come up with that idea. He actually swapped Lewis Dobham for Tim Edabunma from Aston Villa. And I think both clubs paid £10 million within the space of 24 hours. Now, neither of those players are worth £10 million, but both clubs were under PSR pressure. So from the outside, you might say, well, they bent the rules. Some may say they've even broken the rules, but it was a really clever piece of accountancy that other clubs started to do. Newcastle started to do it. Nottingham Forest started to do it. I think some other clubs did it. And that's how he's had to get round the real challenge of making this club. Because for a while, Everton could have, you know, if it had been left a couple of months before we got the new owner, Everton could have run out of money. It's a real possibility. And Kevin Fowler kept us going. He made sure that we got the right players in last summer. The likes of Ndiaye brought in for £15 million. As I said, we were losing real quality. So yeah, he's really good, I think, in tight situations where you have to come up with clever ideas to make sure you're getting the players that are good enough to be competing at whatever level you're at.
I always think scrutiny of the role is very difficult as well, because there'll be loads that you don't see from the outside. And then ultimately, you know, result is king. If a team's winning, the sporting director's considered good, and if the team's not winning, you know, they're not. But in the most general sense, he would be leaving Everton in a better place, or, you know, or on the up. That would be fair, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really good point you just said there, because he bought Jake O'Brien last summer from Lyon for £15 million, and loads of people couldn't understand why we'd spent that money on a centre-back. And yet David Moyes came in, and within two games, Jake O'Brien was playing right-back and has played every single game for David Moyes. So suddenly, that looks like a genius move. He brought Beto in for nearly £30 million a couple of summers back, and Sean Dyche didn't really fancy him. It's been Beto's goals that have propelled Everton up the table and away from trouble this season once he got into the side under David Moyes as well. So those two signings that looked like duds under Sean Dyche have suddenly become really, really good signings. Or, you know, for Beto, maybe paid a little bit too much, but it had to be done at the time. But those two signings, because of David Moyes, have suddenly looked really, really good for Kevin Fowler. So from that point of view, it does come down to the manager. It does come down if the director of football and the manager align. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important thing to stress for Kevin Fowler while he's been at Everton.
That's such a good point about it being a picture, because, Cammy, I'm not apologising for this, because this is the modern world. There is a thirst for analysis of every bit of the football club, and we kind of joked about it before. You know, 10 years ago, you're not paying any attention really to who the sporting director is. You're not analysing the CV. But it's now a big story, so make no apologies for doing it. But to then almost contradict that, so many moving parts here, so many things have to fit. And I think there's a really good example in the form of Ross Wilson. Mm-hmm. You ask Rangers fans, how do you feel about Ross Wilson's tenure at the club? I'm going to guess there's not too many complimentary things to be said. You remember where he's working now?
Nottingham Forest. Incredible.
Who would be one of the success stories anywhere in Europe currently. They probably think there's been a fantastic job done there. So, you know, moving parts, different circumstances, different fit.
Absolutely. And I think what Peter said there was so key, is that the manager and the sporting director need to be aligned. And that's even come from above. That's why I think Ross Wilson's went down to Nottingham Forest. He's aligned with the manager there. But again, the directors trust him. They trust him. There's not loads of interference. Peter said that.
I know, but the accusation here was that he got too much trust at Ibrox. You know, that's what they always. I think that was always the accusation as well.
Possibly, but I would find it strange that he's went down there and had such a successful impact there. So, but again, touching on Kevin Fowler, of where he's been in his sort of journey, it's a lot of it's been academy directors. He's moved on from Preston to, I think it was Derby, I wrote down Wolves as well, and then obviously then he stepped into New York. He went over there as like their head of sport. Mm-hmm. And then obviously he's taken over at Everton. So yeah, it's an interesting journey for him. But I think what Peter said right at the end there, and this is why I think that he will be in place before, or a sporting director will be in place at Rangers before a manager, yeah, well, they all need to be aligned.
Kind of the way it should work, yeah, isn't it? It's not always that easy. And just finally, Peter, I don't know if this has come on your radar yet. There's a story in the Daily Record up here that Kevin Thelwell wants to move quickly and take your academy director Gareth Prosser with him as well.
I haven't seen that one, but I can imagine it. I think he was one of his appointments that he might have had them beforehand. So I could see that there's so much going on at Everton at the moment. There's so many ins and outs. David Moyes is structuring the whole thing. He's took over the club again, like he did the first time, and he wants to structure the club in his own image. So a lot of the people that have been brought in under Kevin Thelwell will probably be leaving the club. So I can imagine that happening. He has a very tight group, Kevin Thelwell, and does like to work with people. He also doesn't shy away as well from when he's targeted players, maybe in the past. He has no issue going back for them either. So if you missed out on a target, it happened with Dan Juma when we tried to sign Dan Juma. He went to Spurs the following summer. We got him, and with Njai as well. We tried to get Njai. He went to Marseille. We missed out, and he stuck with them. So he's not one of these people that, when he misses out on somebody, he says that's the end of it. He likes to go back. He trusts in himself, and he trusts in his coaches and the people around them. So don't be surprised if he comes back for a few people at Everton, or a few of the targets that he's missed out at Everton, or players maybe that at Everton at the moment who David Moyes doesn't fancy. He might come in for them. As I said, he does like a circle around them that he knows and he trusts.
So you're telling us Sean Dyche is going to be the next Rangers manager?
Well, listen, I'm a bit of a Celtic fan, so you can have him.
There we go. Thank you to Peter from Toffee TV, giving us the insight on Rangers' potential new sporting director. It's 2025. That's the level of analysis you've got to go for these days. It's not just the players, it's not the managers, it's the people upstairs. Very important as well. Thank you again to Peter. Good time to call. Get your calls lined up for us whilst I tell you about this. Clyde One. £530,000 is the amount on offer here. A ridiculous number, I'm sure you will agree. I mean, life-changing multiple times over that. So get involved. Payday is just around the corner. This could be the ultimate payday. So £530,000. Text YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk for £250 or call 03434 269340. Those calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday, so you are starting to run out of time, and all you have to do is just answer your phone. That is it, and the £530,000 would be yours straight into your bank account after the call as well. You know, as you log on to your banking app and it says you need to update your app before you can go any further. See that nervous wait where you just see the wee circle loading that, and then you see it. 530,000 plus another £1.50 or whatever you've got left in there. So get involved. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly's here, so is Cammy Bell. It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet as well at Clyde SSB if you want to get involved in the discussion tonight, or start your own new discussion, whatever you fancy. It is the same number. Paul has dialed it. How are you, Paul?
I'm not bad, Gordon. The weather's great. I'm looking optimistic as a Rangers fan with more news coming out about the takeover. So I just had a point for the guys to see what you think about it.
Go for it.
As you know, there's more and more coming out about it, like the sporting director's getting announced and all that stuff. I've just got a feeling, like, and I've heard people, heard this in your show, for instance, saying, you know, it's taking long for us to come out, and the longer it's going to take, you know, Rangers don't have a lot of time to start the new season and whatnot. I want to ask you guys, my first question being, do you not think an organisation as big as the 49ers don't already have all that in place? I mean, they'd be a bit naive if they didn't. I actually think they've got the manager, the sporting director, everything, all in, the background stuff all in place and organised. I actually think the announcement for the takeover will be between the teams on the day Celtic win the league. And the reason I think that is for a PR publicity to put one over on Celtic. I don't know what you guys think of that.
I don't think anything ever gets one over on winning a league, but I know what you mean in terms of trying to get your own bit of the story. Could you see that?
It'd be interesting if it is does come out as Paul said on the day that Celtic managed to clinch the title.
Is a Saturday lunchtime a good time to announce news? I don't know. There's another discussion as well.
Yeah, but, listen, I think his other point though, I think is very valid. That such a big sporting organisation, the 49ers enterprise, will have things in place. Absolutely, they're not taking over this club blinded, with nothing in place. They'll have a lot of moving parts, as you were saying before. Behind the scenes at this moment in time, they'll be speaking with loads of people in and around. And I do believe as well, I think they'll have decided who the manager will be.
Think so?
Yeah, I genuinely already do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think they're in the club just now and understand what's going on. Patrick Stewart's in there. I think there'll be information getting fed back to them. Absolutely. I mean, you're spending a lot of money looking to invest a lot of money in a football club. I think a organisation like that isn't going to go in blind. And I really do think, as Paul said, because the timing's tight, I think they've done a lot of the work already.
Well, I suppose if there is a sporting director appointed imminently, Simon, that might be a sign of that.
Yeah, things
you know,
moving.
Other that, you know, this notion that the takeover might, you know, in people's minds, I think people have been worrying that if there's a takeover completed in, I don't know, June, and then you walk in on day one and go, right, okay, right, what are we going to do now? Right, hold on.
You're not
so
starting
we need
there,
a manager. No, we need a sporting director. Right, who's get? You know, it would be
the sensible approach, wouldn't it? Of course, I can see where Paul's coming from. You know, with this news today, and as you say, this takeover imminent. Yeah, you would think things would already, the ball would be rolling well and truly, rather than waiting further down the line. I said to
you, know what I mean? I think so far there's been an assumption that that's the case. Do you feel like the appointment of a sporting director would add
leans,
a bit of weight to that?
Yeah, leans towards it. And as Cammy says there, there'll need to be some sort of relationship there with this guy and the manager working in tandem. So yeah, you'd probably lean towards things are further down the development lane, definitely.
Anybody that buys any business, you don't walk into a business buying a company and think, right, what am I going to do? When you actually sign the paperwork and you walk into the door, you've already got a plan in place. You're working out how you're going to direct this football club and take it forward. So I firmly believe they'll have done a lot of the legwork by now.
I mean, Paul, is it, are you the type that has a manager in mind? There's obvious names been mentioned, or are you expecting something just completely out of the discussion so far?
What? That's a great question, because we go different directions with it, if I'm being honest with you. I like the idea of the box office appointments, a Mourinho or a Gerrard, but then again, I want Michael Beale back there and all that kind of stuff going back on. Then I heard wild suggestions today in the media saying Daniel Farke is going to get sacked for Leeds, and because of the link up with Leeds, will he come to Rangers? And you know what, I think it's got to be someone that's got a pedigree can take on Brendan Rodgers, because, you know, he's got an exceptional record with Celtic, and I think we're going to have to get someone with experience, a bit like what Celtic did when they took on Dick Atacca when Martin Reel came in. With that pedigree, he managed Leicester, he managed the Premier League and stuff like that. So I think it could be a bit of a name that no one expects, really, to be honest, because I think this organisation will do a bit of work. And I think they looked, you know, we've got Daniel Farke in it, which they knew he was a championship winning manager because he did it with Norwich and things like that. So I think they'll have people in there, they'll use algorithms and all that type of stuff. They'll get someone in those, maybe knows how to take on a pedigree manager like Brendan Rodgers. I don't know if that really answers the question, if I'm being honest with you.
No, you can answer it however you wish. I love
it's not just a name, not just a big name.
Yeah,
like Algeria,
no, I get that.
If it's going to be someone that can take Brendan Rodgers on, that's the benchmark. He's the benchmark.
I do love the level of like scrutiny and interest, and now because everyone's known about the Leeds link, you know, the dual interest, the dual ownership. When we mentioned earlier this week, the fact that Leeds got promoted this week, in theory, makes it easier for the dual ownership. It's easier if you're not in the EFL. And now today, like I say, there's a report that Daniel Farke is going to be sacked by Leeds despite guiding them to promotion, and people are putting two and two together, maybe coming up with four, maybe being miles off and saying could he be an option for the next Rangers manager. Even if not, does it show you how cutthroat maybe that the
how crazy
that regime is? Yeah. Because, you know, I suppose you sometimes see it with players where you go, right, they've done a great job, but for the next step. Very rare to hear it with a manager, you know, a manager who wins promotion and you say no, thank you, and go on to the next guy.
Yeah, I was surprised when you broke that news to me, but there's going to be, until they announce the actual, there's going to be speculation. You know, we've already mentioned 3, 4, 5 guys on this show tonight. But yeah, I'm surprised at that one. But Daniel Farke, obviously they've won and won well the other day, 6-0, and then all of a sudden there's talk of him being moved on.
It is a very strange one, and again, people are going to link it because of the link in ownership. But yeah, but I would be amazed if he does get sacked and he wasn't to come to Rangers, because I find it incredible. You win a league, and such a competitive league in the Championship, it's a huge step into the Premier League, an amount of money for the ownership as well, and then you get sacked off the back of it. I would find it incredible, but listen, we see strange things happening in football.
Thank you to Paul, and it's that time of the night where you get the chance to embarrass Simon Donnelly or Cammy Bell. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a signed ball by answering more football related questions correctly than one of the pundits can. It's pretty simple on a night like this. No offence. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025. We'd love for you to join in on the conversation. So far, it's mostly been about Rangers potentially getting a new sporting director in Kevin Thelwell of Everton. Of course, this is all linked to the takeover and so on. And actually, just during the break there, a bit of breaking news, a statement from Rangers, and it's not so much about what that statement says, it's about the fact that it exists. Because bear in mind, for all the talk, for all the speculation, for obvious reasons, Rangers have never said anything publicly about this takeover until now. This is the first acknowledgement of it. So Rangers and its existing shareholders are in productive conversations with the two lead members of the consortium, Andrew Kavanagh and 49ers Enterprises, about the potential consortium to acquire control of the club, etc. Like I say, it's not earth-shattering words. However, that is the first time Rangers have confirmed they are in takeover talks. So if you want to give us your thoughts, please do. That's some breaking news for you tonight. But we've got big fish to fry of our own first. Let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
A bit of light relief before we go any further. How's the form?
Poor.
Both of you?
I'm always poor, but I won last week, so...
You can move above Scott Allen, apparently, with a win,
I'll,
Simon.
I'll take that at this stage of the season.
I'm reliably informed. Anyway, let's get to Beat the Pundit before we start taking more of your general calls again. Paul is in East Kilbride. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, thanks, Si. How are you? First time? Debut? First time for them for Beat the Pundit.
Good, just along the road for you, Simon. You're dropping that ball off.
I'm just glad Paul's... every phone caller in seems to have beat me in recent times, so I'm just glad Paul hasn't.
You're dropping that ball off for sure. Yep. On the way past. Right, I'll toss the coin, Paul. If it's heads, it would be Cammy Bell. He's in the head seat. And if it's tails, it would be Simon Donnelly. And it's Mr. Heads himself, Cammy Bell, up against Paul from East Kilbride. Right, what we do here is
Paul's happy.
Loves it. Loves it.
So would Abby.
Pretty straightforward, Paul. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Happy with that?
No problem. That's
good,
fine.
Man. Let's give Cammy something else to listen to. Turn it up nice and loud for me so he can't hear us. You and I, Paul, are about to begin right now. Who's older, Liam Kelly or Jack Butland?
Liam Kelly.
Which manager won Celtic's first treble this century?
Martin O'Neill.
St Mirren's Toyosio Lasagna has moved to which league today?
MLS.
Scotland international Ollie Burke plays for which German side?
Wilsburg.
How many points are Falkirk ahead at the top of the championship?
3.
Who wears number 7 for Rangers?
Yanis Hadji.
Luis Palma won the Greek Super League last week with which team?
Olympiakos.
Okay, let's bring him back. Bell, can you hear us?
Yes.
30 seconds on the clock, you ready?
Yep.
Your time starts now. Who's older, Liam Kelly or Jack Butland?
Jack Butland.
Which manager won Celtic's first treble this century?
Brendan Rodgers.
St Mirren's Toyosi Olasanya has moved to which league?
Houston. MLS, sorry.
Scotland international Ollie Burke plays for which German team?
Werder Bremen.
How many points are Falkirk ahead at the top of the championship?
3.
Who wears number 7 for Rangers?
Tom Lawrence.
Luis Palma won the Greek Super League last week with which team?
Panathinaikos.
Okay, Paul, what are you thinking? Tricky. Have you done enough?
Tricky. I believe I have.
He believes he has.
Paul.
There's a few in there, there's a few 50-50s in there, but I think I might have done enough.
He's confident.
Beat me on the Ollie Burke one, but...
You know there's a heartbreaking stewards inquiry to come in there for you, don't you?
Ah, it's shocking though. I can't even believe you're not going to give me.
These are the rules. The rules are
shocking.
The rules. Liam Kelly or Jack Butland? It is Jack Butland, 32. Kelly is 29, 1-0. Cammy Bell disappointing you for the next one. Martin O'Neill.
I was going to see it as well.
This century. Shocking. We are level. St Mirren's Toyosi Olasanya.
Shocking.
Just listen to the question.
Okay.
The good thing about this is, this is not a slight on your knowledge, just your listening.
Did I get
skills.
It right, the team?
Yes.
Yeah. Did I?
Yeah.
It's even worse. That's even worse.
All right, Paul sticking the boot in.
Did I not get a bonus point for the team?
Shocking. I'd love to, because I like you. You know, I like to take those ones off of Gordon DL, but I need to be consistent. So we are one ahead for Paul. However, you pull level, because Ollie Burke does play for Werder Bremen. That's a great shout. Well done. And both of you got 3 points for Falkirk's lead at the top of the championship, so we're still level. The number 7 for Rangers, none of you got it.
7 for Rangers.
Do you know, Paul, I think it used to be Yanis Hadji. Would that be right?
I blame my girlfriend. She's standing with me and she's a Rangers fan. And
What's her name?
Leah.
It's Oscar Cortez. But I think, to give Leah a half point, I think, was it not Hadji? And then when he went on his loan,
doesn't matter.
Anyway, so
still 3 each,
still level. And Luis Palma won the Greek Super League last week with which team?
Olympiakos.
It's Olympiakos.
I knew it as soon as I said
Paul
Panathinaikos.
Paul got Olympiakos.
Did you say initially
Panathinaikos?
Oh,
I knew it as soon as I said it. I've had a stinker there, because I should have just said MLS and Olympiakos.
Exactly.
And I won. Well done, Paul.
Well done, Paul and Leah.
Cheers, Paul.
We get Simon to drop the ball off on his way up the road. Do you know what, I was just thinking, a random story came back to me, because I know it's not Greece, right? But I'm thinking that sort of bit of Europe and how they're probably similar to us in terms of football fanatics, you know, like Greece, Turkey and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my hair cut yesterday by a guy in a full Fenerbahce strip and football boots.
And
no.
Football
he's
boots.
Stomping around in his Mouldies while he's shaving the back of my head.
It's not the boy...
It's down your way. Aye, you know the one, I think.
But is it the lad that plays sixes with us?
But I haven't played sixes in years, but I think he did mention he'd been playing football
Shaggy.
With a group of ex-pros, and I figured it was maybe from your game.
And he had boots up. Maybe he was going
boots,
to the game.
I think he'd been.
Oh, he'd been at the game.
So I'm just sitting waiting.
Shaggy.
And so you know who this guy is? All right, okay.
Amazing.
So he's just bowled in with his boots.
Have
and
you ever played?
And went, you're next up.
I know you haven't been up at Rook and Glen for a while, but you didn't play with the barber.
It does ring a bell. But
he's
Mouldies on when he's cutting my
I can't even believe he's cutting your hair with Mouldies on.
Incredible. Anyway,
that's brilliant.
Enough about that. Paul, so hold on. You said Leah's a Rangers fan, but you're a Celtic fan, is that right?
Is
that alright? Is that harmonious enough?
It's
easy for you.
Aye,
fact. It's poor Leah who's had a tough couple of years.
Oh, of course. Aye.
Honestly, what are you thinking then? Are you expecting Celtic to wrap the league up this weekend, I take it?
Yeah, that would. Wrap the league up this weekend, and then we should complete another treble, 6 and 9 years. So everything's looking good. It's been a up and down season, but I mean, you can't complain if you're winning a treble and you're unlocking the Champions League. So
I know I keep hearing this. I must admit, maybe it's just because it's the wee team fan in me talking. It's the second night in a row somebody's described this as up and down.
I know.
Up and down.
I know. I heard Paul describing it that there.
Somebody did it last night as well.
It's another treble.
You lot have high standards.
Another treble in the cards.
I think fans are very reactionary. And
I'm not half.
I know. And then I think a defeat to St Johnstone and a couple of defeats elsewhere, and people just lose their heads. But I mean, when I think when you look back, if we complete a treble, then I don't think it'll be a season to go down in history. So
okay, I get it. Look, Brendan Rodgers was the first one to complain about that. It just feels like a very small down in the grand scheme of things, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, I think when you support a big team, a big team in Scotland, obviously you can't drop points.
You're just trying to wind Leah up now, aren't you?
she's in there putting up her dinner, so
he's ticking all the boxes to get absolutely no dinner tonight, I think, by the sounds of it. I mean, it's you're expecting Celtic to have a chances to get over the line before you think it'll be done this time, I take it?
I think they'll do it on Saturday. I think they'll get the result on Saturday. Are you talking about the treble?
Well, I suppose both, but I meant the league.
The treble's there to be won again. Aberdeen, it will not be easy in the cup final. I think, was it last year they went to extra time and penalties in the semi? You have to be at it. And listen, Paul describes it as up and down. You can't get complacent with winning. It's potentially another treble. You can't knock that.
You've seen a reaction, do you think, those last couple of games? Do you think that those performances and the sort of clinical nature of them, Cammy, were born out of the St Johnstone defeat?
Yeah, I do. I think the reaction's been impressive from Celtic and the standards that Brendan Rodgers drives at the club as well. Listen, everyone can have off games, but that's not acceptable at Celtic, and Brendan Rodgers let his players know that.
Change the personnel as well, didn't it? Just to remind folk, 100%. You have to be at it to
play. I think there's once, if they get the job done this weekend, then you're playing for place in the cup final team as well, so that'll keep the players on their toes, and Brendan Rodgers will want to win every game between now and the end of the season, and obviously that cup final as well.
The one story that keeps going around for next season, Paul, would you keep Greg Taylor at the club?
Oh, I would, but I feel really bad for Jeffrey Shaw, because I feel like he's came in, he's done nothing wrong, and I think he'd love a move up here, but I feel like keeping Tierney, and I feel like Greg Taylor's a better option to have than two potentially risky injury players. So I think if Greg Taylor is happy to sit on the bench for most of the season, then I think that's the way to go.
Just remind me, were you two on, I know you went on together, but you were both on separately last week,
last
is that
week,
right?
Yeah, I was on with Marv, yeah.
Was there a lot of discussion about Greg Taylor?
There was.
I
was on with Daz, actually, wasn't it? Because Daz put me on the spot, didn't he?
And I just wonder if in the space of a week you've changed your mind at all, or you've seen a change maybe in the mood around that topic, or
about the left backs?
Yeah, just because
I think Paul makes a good, I think Schloops came in and did well in the time he's been here, but I think Greg Taylor's did well as well, and I don't think he would be on the bench as much as maybe Paul's suggesting there. I just meant
since we spoke to you last, it's only a week, but we've had another round of serious compliments from the manager. And
why not though?
And then he's played again in a cup semi-final.
And I said last week, it's funny, football can be strange, because at one point we might have said it was pointing towards the exit door, and then I described it last week as the wheel had seemed to turn in that game that he came on, played at Kilmarnock, was man of the match, and funny things happen in football, and all of a sudden there's talk of a contract.
Because then more than that, people also were phoning in here saying that they'd probably seen the last of him this season, even, remember, and it was like even in various ways he went off to have a baby and missed a game. And Schlupp came in, and then there was the bit about the contract, and people thought you wouldn't really see him, but I mean he's played that, unless something changes drastically he'll probably play the cup final.
Yeah, listen, for me I think Celtic should be trying to sign Greg Taylor. I think he's done a fantastic job since he's came to the club. He's missed it. He's very consistent. He doesn't miss a lot of football. He's always generally available as well. So I think you need to take all these things into consideration. He's played in huge games as well. So again, if there is injuries there and he finds himself a little bit more out of the team next season than normal, you've got a good backup there that's ready to play a big Champions League game that's not going to phase him at all. So I think Brendan Rodgers,
I think he would play his fair share.
I don't think he'll just sit on the bench. Absolutely not. He's too good a player. But I think it would be a good bit of business for Celtic if they can get him signed up.
Thank you very much to Paul, ably assisted by Leah on Beat the Pundit. The sign ball is on its way. 01419511025. John's also a Celtic fan on the other line. How are you, John?
Good, guys. How you doing, Simon? Tammy?
And John.
How are you doing, John? What are you thinking tonight, John?
Before I make my point, we're talking about Greg Taylor here. I'm a big fan of Narowski. I was on the phone a couple of weeks ago to Jim Duffy, but I think if Kieran Tierney comes in, he might play left centre back. Obviously, Brendan likes a right and a left footer, know what I mean? Kieran Tierney with Cameron Carter-Vickers, and Taylor could play a lot of games. So I hope they do give him a new contract, because he's always a guy who gives 120% every game for us. But my point was, Simon, mostly to you, this one, mate. Would you call it? They were talking about this guy, Josh Brownhill, coming to Celtic. I've been watching a few games, and I watched some games, Sheffield United on night. In the first hour, he was absolutely brilliant. He scored a goal, and he scored the two goals, apparently, and scored the next one. And I think next year he's got 17 goals or something like that, and about 11 assists. And I know maybe it's not the trading model we do, because he's 29, but I think this guy would be a great sign for Celtic. What do you think, Simon?
I haven't seen him, John, I have to be honest.
I think that was mentioned more in January, maybe, from what I remember. I don't know if it's got legs.
Where did John see him?
No, Burnley. So he's the Burnley captain. He scored twice. John's right. We had it on in here actually the other night. He scored twice against Sheffield United. And John's right again. He's at 16 for the season. Yeah, I mean, like I say, I think I remember it in January. John might be able to contradict that. John, is it something you've seen recently? There wasn't a huge amount of links there, was there?
Even before January, I think, and then there was talk about him, Brendan being interested, you know what I mean, on a Bosnian, because he is a free agent. I just think it'd be a great sign, I mean, because he's probably a 25 million player, you know what I mean, but you get him for nothing. And obviously the wages maybe might be a stumbling block, you know what I mean, but I know apparently he's not going to sign another contract with Burnley, so and maybe things have changed now because they've been promoted, but I just think it'd be a great sign. I know it's not the trading model we do, a 29-year-old, but...
Yeah.
Brendan was speaking about it. He was like, once before he interviewed a bit, he wanted to bring a bit of experience in. So this guy has got a good bit of experience.
Yeah, entirely possible. No point in asking if you don't feel you've seen him a lot. But I think where John's right, not to say this means it wouldn't, that would be a very un-Celtic signing, it feels like.
Because of the age.
And I think once you go for that level of championship player or a club that's got promoted, you probably are looking at a big wage from England. I mean, from England, and a bit older.
John obviously knows a wee bit more about the guy than myself. I think he feels that he could be a free agent, but I would suggest if he scored the two and they're just going up to the Premiership, there's going to be a bit of money there, you know, for salaries and different things like that. I think,
like, in the loosest sense, right, I'm not trying to draw exact comparisons, it feels like expensive English championship players have been quite a Rangers thing to do in recent seasons. You know what I mean? I feel like there have been a few. By the way, Brendan Rodgers might think he's absolutely brilliant and therefore you sign him and he makes the team better. I'm not saying this stops it, but it would be interesting because it would be different from what Celtic usually do.
Completely different. And again, I actually caught that game and I seen his goals. I seen his interview after the game and he was obviously naturally buzzing to get promoted, and it was a big match for them as well, playing Sheffield United. So, but then again, just looking at his kind of career where he's been in Preston North End, started there, and he's had a lot of games at Bristol City and at Burnley, nearly 200 games. So he's an experienced player. But again, it is away from the Celtic model. But listen, if they can get him at the right price... If Brendan Rodgers believes he's a player that can improve his squad, then why not?
And by the way, if that was including Jeffrey Schlupp as well, maybe that is a bit of a change. Maybe it is a more experienced and free agents.
Yeah, because Schlupp is that kind of...
Yeah.
Put them in the same rough 20s, bracket. Yeah. They've played a lot more English Premier League games. But anyway, not a bad suggestion, John. Quite interested in that one. Thank you to John on the line on 01419511025. The breaking news with regards to the Rangers takeover tonight is that Rangers, for the first time, have confirmed that there are talks underway. Now, I know that might not seem on the face of it like a big update, because we've all been talking about it for so long as if it's definitely happening. But for a number of reasons, this goes way back a couple of months now. Rangers have never said anything about this because understandably they couldn't, but they're now confirming it's the first time the club said anything publicly, confirming that the work is in progress, so to speak. So if you could give us your thoughts on that right now, please, Rangers fans, and if you want to keep going on Greg Taylor and Celtic and what the next couple of weeks looks like and plans for next season, totally here for that as well. Get your calls in, we'll speak to you next.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 141 951 1025, and it's time for a full time teaser. It is a cracker that's been sent in by Alan in Shawlands. Very topical as well. We expect Rangers to appoint Kevin Thelwell from Everton as their sporting director pretty soon. I think that would be fair to say. So it's even topical on that regard. Can you name 11 players who've played for Rangers and Everton this century? So they must have played for both this century. Okay? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Are there any obvious ones that jump out for you?
Naismith.
Stephen Naismith, yes.
Big Dunk.
So he only played for Rangers in the 90s.
David Weir. Right.
David Weir, yes.
Jelovic.
Look at this guy. He's redeeming himself. He's on a roll. From the Beat the Pundit debacle.
That would have been alright if I just listened to the question.
Yeah. Mm. Tends to be the way of it. Well done, David Weir, Jelovic, Naismith. Three already. That's a good start. That is good. Good progress.
11, did you say?
Yeah, 11. That's a fast start though.
That's a good
I've
start.
Got faith in you.
Bye, Cammy.
They get way harder than that. Aye. You don't need me to tell
I'd
you.
Imagine.
Any others to kick you off for you? Maybe who would be the most recent one? You know about that yet?
Hmm.
No?
No.
No, no, no. Okay. All right, we'll get back to it. Thank you again to Alan in Shawlands for that. And it's an email you need to send. If you think you could come up with a teaser, send us an email, fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Right, just to recap some of that breaking news, because we didn't really go into it. Happened around the Beat the Pundit time. This is it's a significant development, because it's for the very first time after months of speculation, months of reports and newspapers and TV shows, radio show, all that sort of stuff. For the first time, Rangers have issued a statement. It's actually a kind of joint statement as well, saying that the Rangers and its existing controlling shareholders are now in productive conversations with two lead members of the consortium, Andrew Kavanagh, 49ers Enterprises Global Football Group, about the potential for the consortium to acquire control of the club and to inject additional capital. These discussions reflect a shared recognition of the importance of Rangers FC's long-term direction, ambitions and management. Like I said, Cammy, that's quite simple. That doesn't tell you anything earth-shattering, but it is a first official acknowledgement from Rangers that they could be about to be taken over.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's significant from the club to release that. Yet we've been speaking about it for months and months, but I think that means it's gathering pace. We're very close to that deal getting over the line. There's probably still a little bit of legal work to be done behind the scenes, but they're basically saying, I think that's a message that the selling shareholders are happy with the deal that's in place. And again, the new owners are happy with the deal that's in place, and it'll just be a sort the legals out, and it will be announced pretty soon. So it's a big bit of news for me that Rangers have actually released that.
Yeah, because look, Simon, I understand the way these things work, especially here, where people might say, well, yeah, look, you're all talking about this, but have Rangers confirmed this? Have 49ers Enterprises confirmed this?
Yeah.
And until now, the answer had been no. Now, look, we're here for a reason, and we try and find things out. Newspapers try and find things out. TV channels try and find things out. So I think it's been pretty obvious that the story was true. I think it's been really obvious, in fact, that the story was true. But nevertheless, you're still looking for that confirmation. As an example, this is never something that Barry Ferguson's really been asked about or anything at a press conference, but because the club can't really say anything about it until they can.
Yes.
And tonight it looks like they've...
Yeah, it looks as if it's quite significant that they've made this statement. And it's also on the same day that the sporting director it looks as if, as Cammy says, the speed is gathering on this takeover. It looks as if it will be imminent. And we had a caller on who seemed to think that they would wait to Celtic win the title on Saturday and announce it. So I think it's round the corner. I think there'll be something more to announce. I think this guy will be appointed. And, you know, for Rangers fans, I'd imagine it'll be quite exciting. You know, what's going to happen next? New manager in place? Is Barry going to have a role to play? Time will tell, but it looks as if it is gathering speed.
Gathering speed. How's this for even more breaking news?
More. Here we go.
Bang on the money. You know something I don't. Rangers Football Club is delighted to announce the appointment of Kevin Thelwell as sporting director.
There you go.
Yeah. So it wasn't a completely random, void Wednesday night speculative conversation we were having earlier on. It is now official. Breaking news tonight. 51-year-old joins from Everton. His contract has expired there. If you remember the backstory to this, is this Football Review. You remember that? I know it seems like a long time ago, but this is what Rangers announced. They wanted another sporting director. So Rangers are outlining His journey that Cammy already brought you up to speed. Some quotes there as well. He calls it a huge honour, refers to the size, stature and expectations. He says it's clear about the ambitions. He's excited to play a part. He knows what it means to so many people, the fact they need to win. He says there is a strong foundation in place and he feels he can build something that delivers consistently. Of course, there's important work ahead, especially in the men's first team structure, but we'll approach it with energy and purpose. Change takes time, but I'm confident we can make real progress. And Patrick Stewart, delighted to welcome Kevin, and so on and so forth. There you go. Spent the first hour talking about the fact that it was probably going to be soon, and it was very soon.
Yeah, again, it is exciting news for Rangers fans out there. I know Rangers fans will now want to hear who the manager's going to be. There'll be a lot of questions coming his way of the direction of the club, how he's going to change it. But I just think it's a step forward, two massive step forwards with regards to the club acknowledging that the ownership of the club could change very, very soon. And a sporting director's been put in place. And for me, again, that just tells its own story, that the 49er Enterprise are behind that appointment. And I'm pretty sure they'll be working behind the scenes with Kevin to find out who, or select who, is going to be the next Rangers manager as well.
This is the beauty of live radio, Graham, in Dunfermline, because I think, I'm looking at the screen, I think when you called,
yeah,
originally, Rangers had never said anything about the takeover and they didn't yet have a sporting director. By the time we get you on the show, both of those things have changed. So does that answer any of your original points?
Well, to be honest, I was sort of aside telling the kids off and between them knocking lumps at each other, I was 40 minutes behind the show. So I didn't actually there was a boy from Giffnick that was talking about sort of Rangers then. But what I'd sort of said when I'd called through was I suspected that, or had suspicions that, is the takeover already sort of further down the road than they're already letting on? Because obviously, to appoint somebody like the sporting director, then does that then mean that he's coming in and looking at transfers for the future, or does he know information before the takeover's happened that they're going to have a budget of whatever it may be? Like, so has he come in as a sort of smokescreen that the takeover's already happened, and then obviously it's inevitable that Celtic's going to win the league, so is it a case of that they're going to sort of spoil the party, if you like, and hold that up their sleeve till Celtic win the league and then Rangers come out and go, takeover's complete? I don't know, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, listen, it would have been great to have this foresight from Graham Earlett, because now that's been backed up. And again, I know the way Celtic fans will feel about this, they'll say, don't be spoiling our party. No. Don't worry about that. We'll enjoy the league and maybe the treble in the future. See if we'd taken Graham's call when half an hour ago, he'd look like Mystic Meg, really, to a point, because I wouldn't mind at all. Because we were just speculating earlier, saying, is the imminent appointment of a sporting director some sort of sign that the takeover is closer? Or, it's close to happening. Well, now they have officially appointed him, so it's not a potential. And Rangers have said something about a takeover, so it's what would be the right word? I was going to say it's happening. Something could change, obviously, but there's an acknowledgement that the wheels are in motion.
Yeah, the wheels are in motion, and again, it's just the way they're doing it. I fully expected a sporting director to be named well before a manager. The next thing I expect to be announced would be that the club's been taken over by the 49ers Enterprise.
Do you think a manager will be announced before the end of the season? Or Barry will get the five games?
I think he'll get the games. I firmly believe the work will be getting done behind the scenes. Yeah. I probably believe in myself that they know who the manager's going to be. Right. I think the conversations will have happened with whoever they want to come in as a manager. Yeah. I mean, because there's not a lot of time, and they're no mugs to this game either.
If this lad's been appointed, obviously sporting director, identifying players
100%
as well, because I think there'll be a bit of a revolving door at Rangers this year. As you say, the timing. So yeah, he's probably started on that already. But you reckon the manager will be chosen?
Yeah, I think certainly they'll have had conversations with people they think are right for the job, or potentially right for the job. Whether Barry Ferguson's one of them, I don't know if he's had any conversations with the potential new owners or not. But I certainly believe that if you're buying into a new business and the business hasn't got a figurehead, a manager in there, then you wouldn't be doing your job right if you walked into the door and not had an idea of who you want to head up your business.
Graham, there are no guarantees with any of this stuff. Obviously, that would be the caveat. But do these developments tonight excite you, or make you feel a lot better than I'm sure you have been feeling throughout the season?
I'd say so. I think they have to. I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of work to do, and they're behind on just about every single aspect between Rangers and Celtic. But the biggest thing that you can sort of say is that if a sporting director is going to come in and start working on transfers now, then hopefully that's positive news. But the one that I would go and try and do is I'd try and get somebody like a Lennon Miller. And then, obviously, he knows the league. He's Scottish, and he could perhaps fit into that midfield. And then, obviously, you've got the benefit of the fact that if he goes on to bigger things, that you get everyone's a winner, that put a sell-on clause in, and obviously Rangers recoup the funds as well. So, hopefully, they are starting to do business like that. Obviously, in the years previous, they've sort of bought players and then they've left for nothing. So, if they can get their model in order pretty quick, then it might not be a bad summer.
Tell you what, they better have deep pockets. They better have deep pockets if they want Lennon Miller. Seriously, 49ers Enterprises better get that checkbook out. Various clubs have various different structures, and some of them work in different ways. Some people have sporting director, director of football. Clearly, Kevin Thelwell will oversee this.
Yes,
but I suppose it is worth bearing in mind that Nils Coppin's still there. He's the technical director now, is that right?
Mm-hmm. He's changed obviously jobs. He was head of recruitment for a period of time, and
so he's still there as well.
I think this football and review is still ongoing within the club, and I think that will continue over the next six months to a year, when the new ownership's involved, the new sporting director's seen it with their own eyes. And I think there'll be a lot of moving pieces this summer. I think the youth setup will be looking at. Kevin Farwell's sort of journey in his career, a lot of it has been around the youth, so they'll be looking to try and restructure that. They've not currently got a head of youth as well, so a head of academy. So yeah, there'll be loads of things happening with Rangers during this summer, so it'll be interesting times and exciting times ahead for the fans as well.
I mean, Graham, I take it you see that statement tonight from Rangers as well. That's the first official confirmation you've had from the club that this takeover is sort of on the cards. I don't think there would have been any reason to not believe it before now anyway, particularly Rangers fans wanted to buy into it, but is it nice to have that confirmation?
I think so. I think it's a sort of, it's a positive to a bad season, to be perfectly honest, albeit that some results have been good. They've obviously got the result against Celtic Park about a month ago or whatever it was, but that's just sort of papering over the cracks. So now if they could get some serious work done, and sort of, obviously they are playing catch up, but with the fact that the 49ers have quite a bit of clout, and also I was reading today that they're actually the owners, or they have some affiliation with Red Bull as well. So if they could come in and start sort of getting decent sponsors in and long term things on track, then obviously the future might be better than it has been in previous years.
Yeah, do you think it also calms that fear, maybe, Cammy? I think there's an understandable level of trepidation from Rangers fans who maybe thought about, the timing, saying, well, if this takeover doesn't get officially completed and a line drawn under it until the summer, do you then start trying to plan transfers then, when you've got Champions League qualifiers, European qualifiers around the corner? Does that appointment tonight and the statement about the takeover calm some of those worries?
Absolutely, I think it does. I think, listen, Andrew Kavanagh has been at a lot of games recently as well, so I think he understands the frustration from the fans at this moment in time, and they were probably getting a little bit worried, a bit anxious, is this takeover going to happen? I think this is the first stage of part of what the takeover is going to be, is let's put a sporting director in place, let him do his job between now and the end of the season, have a look at the players that are currently there, which he'll have a good idea of who he's wanting to keep and who he's wanting to move on, but also he'll be working behind the scenes relentlessly at targets for next season. And then, as I say, I think the next step will be the takeover will happen, and then the manager will get announced. I think there'll be loads of work's already been done And will be continuously done between now and the start of next season. But yeah, I think it just eases a lot of the Rangers fans' minds at this moment in time, because it starts to get a bit nervous, because time is tight. We spoke about that before, mm-hmm. that again, next season comes around really, really quickly.
Recruitment's hard, even if you've got time.
Absolutely.
Do you think they waited maybe just to, Rangers obviously had the European run. You think they've maybe waited
potentially
to,
yeah.
because obviously mm-hmm. the season now, they've not got anything yep. left to play for, so to speak. They've got the five games, but you know, mm-hmm. they maybe didn't want to take yeah. the focus away that campaign.
So also as well, you know, Rangers fans, they need something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This,
good news.
This point in time, yeah. need yeah. something. I don't think Rangers would suddenly not be able to shift season tickets, because I think there's a demand and all that sort of stuff. But you do tend to find at this stage yeah. of season, you sell it, you know, give people a vision that something's going to change. Otherwise you're saying, yeah, just blindly sign up again for
same,
more of this.
Same old, yeah.
So anyway, thank you very much to Graham. Enjoyed that, Graham. I know it was your first time on, so hopefully we'll do it again very soon. That was Graham in Dunfermline. First time caller, but regular at splitting his kids up from knocking lumps out of each other, by the sounds of it. Can you name 11 players who've made appearances for Rangers and Everton? How good's that teaser now? See the timing of this appointment.
Great.
This century, Davy Weir, Nikica Jelovic, Stephen Naismith.
Patterson.
Nathan Patterson, yes.
Steve Simonson?
Yes.
I'm going to get that.
Goalie. Aye.
Yeah.
See, goalie union.
No, because yeah. I was there with him, so I can remember he was at Everton.
I've got one, but I'm not sure. Jeffers.
Francis Jeffers, former Motherwell striker, yes.
Great, cool. Great one.
Any others for now?
Nope.
What okay. we got? Six.
Still time. Yes. Don't worry. Get your calls in. 01419511025. Big breaking news tonight. Rangers have a new sporting director in Kevin Thelwell. The club has also spoken publicly for the first time about the takeover. So if you want to get involved there, please do. A couple of other topics we've not got round to yet, which I'd love to. The lower league nominations for Player of the Year have been announced. Is it the right list for you? Would you have picked someone different? Who will win out of the four? And Toyosi Olasanya from St Mirren to the MLS, Cammy, in Houston Dynamo for a couple of hundred grand. When the season ends in five games' time and he's out of contract, it's one of my favourite transfers of the season. What are your thoughts, St Mirren fans? We'll speak to you all next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly, he's a cynic. He said at the start of the show it could be a quiet Wednesday night.
I know.
Clueless.
Not a Mystic Meg at all. Did not see anything coming.
Rangers have got a new sporting director and Kevin Thelwell confirmed tonight, and for the first time they have spoken officially about the takeover as well. So that suggests certainly that firstly it's on. I think most people knew, if you look at the in-depth reports that have been coming out in recent months, and that it's heading in a positive direction as far as Rangers are concerned as well. So if you want to keep the calls coming in, please do. 01419511025. I suspect we'll do more of this as the days progress as well. Got a good teaser for you. Can you name 11 players who've made appearances for Rangers and Everton this century? You've got Nathan Patterson, Davy Weir, Nikica Jelovic, Stephen Naismith and Francis Jeffers. Steve Simonson as well before the break. Any more?
The left back, Ball, Michael Ball.
Great singer as well, yes. Mm-hmm. Michael Ball is in there.
Another one?
Beattie.
James Beattie.
James Beattie, yep.
And?
Struggling,
no worry.
What are we saying? Yeah. Well known?
Clues.
The bit cryptic, sort of. But the clue I would give you for one of them, of all the people on this list, you've not got the biggest name yet.
Hmm.
Now I'm not talking necessarily about, you're just thinking like length of name here, as in like number of letters.
Is that too early? Too early.
So of all the people on here, this guy is the biggest name. I'd back that all day long, in fact.
Gaza.
Nope.
Biggest name.
Okay, I'll leave it. Listen, I'll leave it with you. Right, let's do, we're nearly out of time. How quick was that? Let's take a quick look. It's awards season. Maybe tomorrow night, actually. Could tomorrow night be the night we get stuck right into a Premiership Player of the Year debate? Maybe we will. But the Championship shortlist and the lower leagues has been announced today. In the Championship, it is two from Falkirk, Calvin Miller and Brad Spencer, Robbie Muirhead of Livy and Jay Henderson of Ayr Cammy. I think you are our Championship expert. Is it the right list?
is anyone hard done by? I mean, it's voted for by the players anyway, but yep. You know, in a general sense, and who'll win it?
Oh, it's a tough one, actually. No, listen, everyone that's on that list have certainly had an exceptional season. Robbie Muirhead, I like, he's done ever so well since he's moved to Livingston. He's a player I knew as a kid at Kilmarnock. He's got these wonder goals in him as well. Yep. That left foot just pings him from 30 yards into the top corner. But a player on that list I like is Brad Spencer. I was at Kilmarnock with him as well, and he does everything so well. He's obviously John's boy, and but he's so good.
I didn't
good.
Realize that until this season. Actually, when I was watching.
I was at Killy. He came as a kid as well, and he's just so useful with the ball. Mm-hmm. But he plays them passes, breaks the lines as well, and very rarely gives away possession. So I love watching him play.
Do you know what I love about him in particular is the trajectory or the career path. So he's a kid at Kilmarnock. Yep. He goes part time, plays for Forfar, plays for Raith, moves to Falkirk. He's a nomination for League One Player of the Year. And much like all his teammates, they all then go from being like the best in the League One to doing it in the championship. The next season. You know, Calvin Miller's in there as well. Where you've got such a different, but starts at Celtic, and you know what that's like. Once you start there, if that doesn't go to plan, how do you bounce back? Jay Henderson enjoying life under Scott Brown as well, and Robbie Muirhead. So you reckon Brad Spencer will get that?
I think he's very, very consistent. I think he's so important for Falkirk as well, and he's probably why they're going to get over the line.
Yeah, let's hear from Calvin Miller on his nomination. Of course, Falkirk is now looking a bit more nervy than it was a few weeks ago in terms of their promotion.
That's the thing. It's in our hands. I've been looking at many other leagues, and I would usually say when teams have been like loads of points ahead, I would be like, "Oh, that's done." But it's not done until it's done, and we need to go and do a job on Friday. Taking the club back for when I joined in League One and getting promoted to the Championship to then going to do it again would be a double promotion. I think that would be very historic, and personally as well, it would be an unbelievable achievement for the chance that you go and do a double back-to-back promotion to get yourself up to the Premiership. And they've not been in the Premiership for so long. Like, you've got your chance to go and create another bit of history. It's so important that we go and get this over the line.
I have no doubt Falkirk will continue to spin it as we would have taken this position at the start of the season, and of course they would, and they're still favourites. It has got a lot closer than anyone thought it would, though.
Oh, massively. And this weekend's very exciting as well, because
who's Livy got?
I think what plays into Falkirk's hands is the fact that the goal difference, there are a few goals there are a few goals ahead of Livingston. So if they don't get the job done on Friday, they're at home to Hamilton on the last day of the season. I think it's been announced as well, though, that Hamilton's deduction of points will be announced next Friday. I think that was news today that the SFA will come out, their appeal will be decided then. So that could then become a big match as well if the reduction is brought in from their point deduction. So it's a massive match, because it's a big match for Partick.
Yeah, see, you win a league, though. I know you can never easy. See, when it gets to that. And I think Falkirk, they have been miles ahead. They're looking comfortable, but it's getting closer. The games are running out.
Hats off to Livingston as well.
Friday night,
because I think they've went under the radar all season. Yeah. They've been absolutely brilliant this season.
What's really helped them is they've got by far the better head-to-head record against Falkirk. Yep. So that's where they've kind of clawed back a lot of their points as well. If Falkirk do get over the line, and it'll be full credit to them, best team wins the league, promotion, and great, looking forward to the Premiership. It'll now become a bit of a relief, though, won't it? You know, they're almost like, they'll be really glad it's only two games left. The fact that it's two means they're still very much in the
big time. The favourites. I don't think they
an extra
been,
game or two, you start.
I think they'd have been complacent or anything, but no. When you're sitting there with a lead, and it's a comfortable lead at one point, and then I just did not see that result coming at the weekend. That put the cat amongst the pigeons a wee bit, and as I say, Firhill will not be easy on Friday.
And just to give them the acknowledgement they deserve, the League Two nominations, Kieran Dunn of Peterhead, Andy Munro of East Fife, Andrew McCarthy of Peterhead, and Alan Troughton. He's 39 and still banging them in.
Still playing, East Fife,
that's the League Two nominations as well. And League One, Scott Stewart of Arbroath, Fraser Taylor of Arbroath on loan from St Mirren, Mitch Megginson and Fraser Fivey, both of Cove. So
Fraser Taylor's
all
a top player, but I really like him. Watched them a few times, and good player.
Right, the 11 players who've played for Rangers and Everton this century: Patterson, Weir, Jelovic, Naismith, Beattie, Jeffers, Ball, Simonson.
I've got, I think, the biggest name, Arteta.
Yes.
Yep.
Arteta.
Mikel Arteta.
Arteta.
Struggling with the other two though.
Yeah, really tough. Again. Really, really tough.
Clues.
Came
clues.
A centre back who came in the Mark Warburton era. He's better known for playing for a big
Kiernan.
And no, he's better known for playing for a North London club. The red one. But he did have a loan spell at Everton.
Can I think?
He's got the same sort of hairdo as Jim Duffy. Swiss.
Here's the other one. Clue another one quickly.
Yes.
This one, impossible, because he just left Rangers. In fact, he might only be away on loan. I did not know he made 5 appearances
for Rangers.
For Everton.
For Everton.
He's now at Birmingham.
Now at Birmingham.
From Norwich.
No.
Kieran Dowell.
Dowell.
Is it Sendros? Is the other one?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sendros. Kieran Dowell. There we go. Senderos, Baldow, Simonson, Jeffers, BT, Arteta, Naismith, Jelovic, Weir, Patterson. You got them all just in time. Thank you for your company tonight. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow.